Good morning from Christian Outreach Center. So excited to be with you again, Pastor yes. Stephen and I yes. are staring down a barrel of a camera once again. Oh, goodness. But we love that we get to have this connection with you guys. Wish it was in person, but it's not. But we hear so many different reports of you guys kind of meeting with your kids and watching the videos. And thank you for watching the videos. Thank you for tuning in. We want to stay connected as much as we can, and we love to hear your voice on the phones and through text and however we can, and once in a while in person from a safe distance. But we miss you guys, and we want to be with you again soon, hopefully soon. Mm-hmm. So we started talking last week about stewarding this season well. You see, God, we said that God doesn't give us things by accident, and we never asked for this.
Yes.
And that's kind of what the ground that we covered, and we started this little micro series of what do we do now that we're in the middle of this? You know, we talked. This is kind of a continuation of the being people of peace and presence. Like, that's the kind of people that we want to be. We want to be walking in the presence of the Lord, and so kind of this little subsection is how do we do this well? We want to come on the end of this thing. We pray there's an end to this thing. But when this is all said and done, this is going to be over with, right? And we're going to go on with our lives. And what is that going to look like? Looking backwards on this time, are we going to say that was just so horrible and we lost ground? Or are we going to say, regardless of what, we can't control what happens in our country economically, we can't control it medically. And so those things we can get angry about or we can get fearful about, but we can't control them. Hopefully you tuned into those videos. If not, go back and look at some of the older videos because we talked about that a lot. We can't control that. What can we control, Pastor Stephen?
On my best day, me.
Right. On my best day, me. And fortunately, with God, every day is our best day. And he's given us a spirit of self-control even.
Yes.
And so we're working on this right here. We're working on our hearts. And so how sad, we said this at least a couple different videos, we said how sad if we get to the end of this virus quarantine or whatever, and we look backwards and we say, well, we made it through. Or how sad if we say, oh, we lost ground spiritually. Man, guys, this is a point in time, and it doesn't matter whether we're in quarantine or whether we're in normal life. God's plan for your life is growth.
Yes, every season is intended for growth.
Oh, come on.
Every single
say that
season,
again.
Every season is intended for growth. So how sad to get on the opposite end of a season and realize growth didn't take place.
All right, guys, that's the money shot for today. You can, please don't, but you can shut the video off, right?
Like, don't shut it off.
But
keep watching, please.
But every season,
yes.
That is so good, Stephen. Every season is intended for growth. And now, there's always different levels, and there's different, sometimes you might be in a desert season, sometimes you're in a mountaintop season, but it doesn't matter. God's intention for that season is for you to look more like Jesus when you get to the end of it, right? Every day, every moment, every process, everything that's brought into our life, everything God allows us to go through is meant for our growth. It's meant for us to become more kingdom-minded, more Christ-like in our actions. And so that's what the kind of the gist or the title of this series is, stewarding this season well. And this happens to be the season that we've been thrust into. And so we're going to read the verses that we read last time. It was in Philippians, and we're going to be camping out there again this week. But in Philippians chapter 1, we started in verse 3, and we went through verse 7. I'll read them again for you just to comment as a review. But it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership. And that's that's kind of what we spent our time on last time, was partnership. I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, until this very moment, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart, whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share or partake or partner in God's grace with me. And so we talked that Paul's joy was not only based in Christ, but it was also based in the church's response and partnership with the gospel. And so kind of where we ended last time, we talked about kind of our, you kind of nailed this. You talked about it last Wednesday night again, but it was about the tripod. So I had given this illustration about kind of the tripod and you know, the camera, and kind of that you get to see your responses and your reactions a little bit more clearly when the shutters open a little bit more. And so Stephen had this, just this nugget last time, and he talked about how when the shutters open longer, you know, you get to see more information that's recorded onto the camera. And the same thing with our lives. When life is slowed down and the pace isn't here, there, and everywhere, it's slowed down a little bit, you get to see a little bit more of, there's a little more information coming out. You get to see, there's a little more exposure. And that, you talked about it even Wednesday night, talked about that a little bit. But that was kind of his...
We don't like exposure.
We don't like exposure.
we'd rather like to live between those glimpses.
So kind of one of the question that I ended with last time is, is it possible that I believe in God and love God, but I'm partnering and building my life on something other than partnership with the gospel, partnership in faith, partnership with God? And I think the easy answer to that is yes, it absolutely is.
Yes.
And so kind of our last review we want to lean into a little bit more today is the three different things of what do I bring to the table when I partner with someone or something? What does that look like? I bring, we went over these last time, we're going to review them again. Number one, I bring my choices, my will, my volition, what I choose to do. Like who or what I partner with has a huge bearing on what my choices are. And so that's one thing that I bring to the table. Another thing that I bring to the table is my stuff, my resources. So all of my assets, all of my giftings, my time, my finances, and I, whatever I'm partnering with, that ends up being where a lot of my stuff gets funneled. My time gets funneled. My resources get funneled. My giftings get funneled there. And then the third thing we talked about, and this is maybe a weird one for some of you, but it's one that's a big asset or hazard for me personally, being a creative person, is my prophetic creativity, my imagination, my prophetic words. Well, I don't know if I'm a prophet. It doesn't matter. We're, as spiritual beings, we're prophetic people. That's what separates us from the animal kingdom, is all of our words. It says, the Bible tells us that there's life and death in the power of the tongue. It's because we're prophetic people. And that doesn't mean that everything I'm saying is happening in the future. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the power of us to create the future in our lives. With my words, if all I talk about is how terrible I feel, I wake up in the morning and I say, oh boy, my body is racked with pain. Gosh, I'm full of pain today. This is going to be a day where I'm just going to feel miserable. How do you think we're going to feel today?
It's funny. I was reading in the newspaper actually this week. There was an article about a local family that received some award. And anyway, kind of cut to the chase here, but they were in the interview. The guy's a farmer, and he was just talking about how what you speak is going to be what you get. If you just sit as a farmer and talk about how bad this year is going to be, how bad this season is going to be, how horrible the prices are going to be, you're going to get exactly what you expect in that situation. Yeah. And there, it wasn't a spiritual aspect. I mean, that was a secular article with a secular person, and that's exactly, I mean, he sees it. And a lot of times as Christians, why don't we see it? That our words carry prophetic power.
Absolutely. And so this isn't a deal where you can just say, hey, everything's going to be great this year, and then you go through the year and some things aren't great. That's not what we're saying at all. But what we're saying is a principle.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
In the Word of God, you find principles. And that doesn't mean that every single, in fact, Proverbs are a great example of that. You see principles. And so if I align with this principle, odds are, lots of times, this is how it's going to work out. Now, sometimes God has a different sovereign plan. He's got the right to play the ace. If he says, yeah, that's how the principle normally works, but I need this to work for kingdom purposes, and we're going to do something different. So we're not just saying that whatever you say is exactly what's going to happen, but what you say has powerful effects on your life and your experience of this life. So what does it... bring it back. What does it look like? So those are the three aspects of partnership, of what I bring to the table. So what does it look like in my life if I partner with something other than the gospel, or something other than faith in Christ, or whatever? So I can still love God, I can still believe in Jesus Christ, and yet my heart can be partnering with something. Let's say something as simple as, like, one that's really common in this time is fear. What if I'm partnering with fear instead of partnering with the gospel? Well, we said the number one thing is my choices, my will, my volition. So have you ever been in a position in your life where there's something that you know you should do or something that would be super beneficial for your life, but you didn't do it? And when you got cornered on it, maybe just your own introspection, or maybe your spouse or someone was asking you, why don't you do this? If you were honest, you had to answer, well, I'm scared. How many times does fear cripple us? Yeah. So this isn't a lesson about fear today, but it's just, what does it look like if I'm partnering with someone? So if I go beyond just letting fear limit my decision, but I'm actually partnering with fear. So choices would be the first one. And we've all experienced where we haven't made the right choice because of fear. But that doesn't mean we're partnering with fear. So let's look at the other two areas. So maybe my choices are being inhibited because of fear. But if I'm partnering with fear, then it bleeds into the other areas. Well, then it's my assets and my time, my finances. So I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember Y2K. Some of us were just trying to be wise. Some of us maybe partnered with fear a little bit. And all of you guys that have 5 generators and 4,000 gallons of water that you stored in your basement and 500 cans of beans that you're still trying to get through. Do you know what I mean? We pointed our resources. We pointed our time. So if I'm partnering with fear, maybe I'm spending a lot of my time watching news that I shouldn't be watching because it's the very thing that's creating that fear in me is what I feel I need to lean into to kind of be able to micromanage and control. Oh, I just need to know what's happening on this day as I'm wringing my hands. And now I'm spending money buying things that are going to maybe protect me from something that I don't really need anyways. Now my assets, my finances are going towards to feed into this fear. Or maybe we could go on down that road a lot, but I don't want this to turn into something just about fear. It's about partnership. This is what I'm talking about. So then my third thing is my prophetic creativity, my imagination, my creative words. Now I start saying things like, I think this is going to get really bad. I think, and so I start speaking into this. I start imagining worst case scenarios. And now what I would say is I'm not just letting fear affect my decisions. Now I'm partnering with fear. Could be the same with anxiety. Could be the same with frustration. You can partner with selfish ambitions. You can partner with pride. You can partner with arrogance. You can partner with jealousy.
Addictions. You can partner with,
So what we're saying is our lives, Paul was so excited because of their partnership with the gospel. That means their choices in life were gospel-based. It was kingdom-based. Let's partner with the kingdom of God, with life and truth and hope and justice and mercy and peace. My choices are going to reflect that. How about my time? How about my resources? How about my finances? I want to point my finances towards the kingdom of God. I want to point my time towards the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean that I'm out there every second preaching the gospel. That means I'm doing kingdom things.
Yes.
I'm raising my children in an environment of peace and kingdom mindsets. That means I'm spending my time doing kingdom things. That's if I'm go on and on talking about the sacred secular thing, like everything now in my life becomes kingdom things. If I'm partnering with the gospel, if I'm partnering with Jesus, if I'm partnering with kingdom things, that means my relationships become kingdom relationships. If you're a Christ follower and I'm a, then we're not just talking about the weather. We're spending our time, our resources doing kingdom things. And that doesn't mean that we don't go fishing, but if we go fishing, man, we're also going to seize the moment to if someone's there that needs to hear the gospel. If we're going to sing songs of praise, we're going to talk about the goodness of God, we're going to enjoy a sunset together. We're going to we're doing kingdom things with our relationships. I'm using my assets for kingdom things. Mm. I'm giving to my local church. I'm giving to, you know, people in need. I'm being in a moment like this, I'm being salt and light, because the world needs to see Christ followers in a moment like this that are committed to the cause of Christ. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, I'm using my imagination and my prophetic words for kingdom things. Mm-hmm. I'm saying things like, you know what? The news is saying this is bad, but God is working something incredible. And folks, that's what we keep hearing. Every pastor we talk to, every article we read, we keep hearing how God is doing things behind the scenes. Be encouraged, friends. Mm-hmm. You might be fighting anxiety and battles of your own, but resist that and partner with the gospel and grow in this moment and know that God's doing things. More Bibles sold in the last 3 weeks than over a year period. Mm-hmm. It's just, God is stirring hearts right now. And so I want you to be encouraged. And so we want to partner with the gospel. We want to partner with the kingdom. We want to partner with grace. We want to partner with peace. And so we want those areas of our life to line up with that. Mm-hmm. And I want to read a couple of verses that I didn't get to last time because we ran out of time. And in case you're wondering, maybe you could care less, but we've had a lot of questions on this, so I'll just answer it on camera. My camera records 30 minutes. And so when you see us saying we're running out of time, that's what that means, is it's just going to stop. So we have a hard line stop on this. So in our message videos, that's why they're 29 minutes and 40 seconds often. It's because we want to get out of here.
We're milking it for as much as we can.
So a couple of verses that I didn't get to last time on partnership. We're going to read in Philemon, verses probably 4 through 7, I think. And it's kind of the sister passage to this. And Paul's saying this, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. Verse 6 says this, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective. Think about that. Paul is just saying, I want to see fruit come out of your partnership. You're pointing your life, you're pointing your resources, you're pointing your joy, you're pointing what you bring to the table, you're pointing your imagination, you're pointing your choices towards this partnership that we have in faith. That's what our life is consumed with. And so he's saying, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith might be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Mm. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Okay, so that's one section. I've got one more passage I'd like to read in this before we move on a little bit. And this is from your Wednesday nights. Stephen has been teaching Wednesday nights, and the conversation that he and I have had is we've been so excited about. We felt the Lord leading us into this series, Peace and Presence, and then kind of the little sub-series of Stewarding the Season Well, subtitle, whatever you want to call it. But really walking through this season well, like, all right, here we are, let's do this, that God would be pleased with how we walk through this season. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding is your series that you started months ago and our series that we started weeks ago is just meshing.
They are colliding.
We are colliding. And don't you love when the Holy Spirit does that, when he orchestrates Amen. Things that we can't have foreseen?
We didn't plan this.
We didn't plan this. And so when I was kind of researching this sermon and kind of digging out passages for this, this is the passage that I came up with, and I didn't even realize it at first. And I went, wait a minute, this is our Wednesday night passages. So this last section that I'm going to read right here is from Ephesians chapter 5, which happens to be what you were just talking about in the last few weeks, verses 6 through 10. Paul was just going on a bunch of different sins and things that people were doing. We're going to start in verse 6. We're going to skip some of that. And he says here in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, the things that he was just talking about earlier, because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Verse 7, therefore, because God's wrath comes on those kind of scenarios and those kind of people, do not be partners with them. And that's what we're talking about here. Don't join your lives. Don't point your assets, your resources. Don't point your time. Don't point your words. Don't connect. Don't point your choices towards people in situations that are deserving of God's wrath, and God will judge. Don't partner with things like that. So he says, therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness. Mm-hmm. We're going back to Wednesday nights now. But now you are light in the Lord. Mm-hmm. So live as children of the light. We just talked about that. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. That last verse there. Mm-hmm. Isn't just one of duty. Though he doesn't say the word partnership, that's what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord. When I'm in partnership with someone, you asked the question, I think, on a Wednesday night, probably just last Wednesday night.
Possibly.
They're all blending together, folks. But ask what it's like to find out what pleases your spouse.
Yes.
Yeah, do a study, and this is great marriage advice. Find out what pleases your spouse. Are you doing things that is a great sacrifice to them? This is a little rabbit trail, but it's a little side note that's going to really help your relationships. If you're exhausting yourself showing love to someone and that doesn't please them, I keep buying them coffee and chocolate and they hate coffee and chocolate. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just silly. That's a waste of your resources. Find out what pleases the Lord. And like Stephen said last Wednesday or whenever we talked about this, we've got a whole book full of things that tells us what pleases the Lord. And we've got an inner witness in our in our conscience and in our heart that tells us what pleases the Lord. And so if I'm friends with Stephen, I should find out what pleases Stephen, because not to earn points, not to so I can still be friends with you, I hope.
It's not the mafia boss mentality.
No, it's not. It's because that's the right thing to do.
Yes.
It benefits me.
Yes. Yes.
And it benefits him, and it's kingdom to bless someone. Mm-hmm. Don't you want to be blessers? Don't you want to be givers and not takers? Come on, this isn't a financial thing. This is a lifestyle thing. Don't you want to, when you walk into a room, do you want people to groan or do you want people to smile? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Because we're people of blessing. We know what pleases people, and not people pleaser in the bad sense, but in the way that blesses people, because we want to pour into their life. We want to mentor people. We want to come alongside of people. We want to encourage people. We want to give hope. We want to see people's walk with Christ be lifted up because I'm in their life, and not the other way around. Mm-hmm. And so be blessers of people. So those were the verses that I was super excited about, because they talk about partnership. We didn't get to them last time. One thing, we started off talking about this. We didn't get to it last time. Paul started this whole thing. He said, I going back to the Philippians 1, sorry, we're jumping all over today, but we're trying to make up some ground that we didn't get to. Philippians 1, he started this whole thing saying, I thank God every time I remember you in my prayers. He said, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. And so we read that already. But he said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you. If you are a Christ follower, God began something in you. Mm-hmm. And you talked about this on a Wednesday night. I wasn't out there, but we were having the conversation. Don't let your testimony, your salvation story, your conversion story be the sum total of your Christ following story. Mm-hmm. How sad if we get saved and then that's it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
That's not even the gospel. That's not even what God is talking about. God begins something in us so that he can care. We're saved to something. We're not saved for a destination. We're not saved for heaven.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that, because something that stands out to me in, because you could get on the wrong side of this and think, okay, so he says partnership with the gospel. So that means salvation, right? So that's, and we had this conversation about how, you know, if your goal in your relationship with God was merely salvation, how sad. Like that's the starting point. That's the end. And Paul says something interesting in Philippians where he says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now.
Yeah.
Like this is a continuation process. It's not, okay, you got saved and now you're good and game over kind of thing. Now you're just waiting on death. Right.
Right.
That misses the life of Christ that God has called you to do. Yep. So the salvation is the starting point from now, from that first day until now. This speaks of endurance. This speaks of perseverance. This
ongoing
continuation kind of thing. Sorry, I didn't mean.
No, I love that. We're built to participate in the life of Christ, and our salvation experience is just the beginning of that. That's the entry point. That's walking through the threshold. And then we're living out this salvation on a day-to-day basis. And that's what this stewardship is all about. It's about stewarding my life in Christ.
It's like inheriting a mansion, but only stopping at the front door.
Right.
Like stepping in the front door and
dude, what's the swimming pool like?
Don't know, but the doorway was awesome.
How about, is it like a big screen TV?
The doorway was awesome.
This thing has to have a massive kitchen in it.
The entryway had this really nice rug.
And that's all we know. Please, guys, don't stop at the doorway. Mm-hmm. If you've given your life over to Jesus Christ, great. That's man, you're going to spend eternity in heaven, right? That's the doorway. Don't spend your Christianity in the entryway. Mm-hmm. Come on, guys. We've got a whole mansion to explore, and we're using figurative language, but we've got a whole life in Christ that so many of us don't participate in because we stop at salvation. We stop without God doing a deeper work in us. And goodness, we're going to run out of time again. But Paul was so excited. Let me at least finish the point that I started here. Paul was excited about them because their partnership was with the gospel. And he made the statement that he who began a good work in you is faithful to carry it to completion. He'll bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's the deal, though. I have to believe, and even know because he talks about it, that Paul knew people that started this good work, that God started a good work in, and it didn't go to completion.
Yep.
Like they walked away from God. They walked away from this moving that God was doing in their life. And so how could Paul say this over their lives? Well, number one, I believe he was just making this prophetic declaration that God's going to do this. Number two, he was recounting God's goodness. He's just bringing, hey, God is faithful. But number three, he was saying, I'm confident of this because you're partnering, because of what the choices you are making in your life. God's going to do his part, but you're doing your part. You keep showing up. You keep bringing it to the table. You keep partnering. And because of that, God's not going to drop the ball on his end. God is faithful, and he's going to carry through. And so real quickly, just three things. We're going to end with these. Just in case you're a little confused by that, there's something that we talk about all the time that's called common grace. And maybe you're not familiar with that term, but common grace is this. It's the grace of God seen in everybody's life. Say everybody.
Everybody.
That means I could be out committing atrocities, horrible things, evil things. And yet at the end of the day, I could stop and watch a sunset. And that's the glory of God being revealed. I get to participate, not just see it, but I get to participate in that. Well, that's not fair. And that's what we call common grace. There's a verse in the Bible that says God causes the rain to fall on the wicked and on the righteous.
Yep.
It's common grace. Okay, so that's one level. There's another level where as believers in Christ, we get to participate in an elevated level of grace because of the work of Jesus Christ, and we've accepted that. So we walk in that, and we really get to see the goodness of God. Nothing that we deserve, nothing that we've earned, but yet it's the goodness of God showing up in our life, grace after grace, grace after grace, grace after grace. That's the second level. But then there's a third level, and it's what we call conditional. And all through the Bible, you'll see thousands of conditional statements. Let me read one for you that you all know. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. That's an awesome promise and a move of God that's based on a conditional promise. So not all of the promises of God are like that, but so many of them is, I need to do my part. It's a sovereign move of God that is out of my control, and it's a grace of God, but I have to be willing to place myself under that waterfall of grace. So it's a choice on my part. So guys, we're just telling you today, make the right choices. We'll press into that a little more next time. We love you guys, and we miss you all, and partner with the gospel today.